All right, so welcome to. Ooh, what is that? That was loud.
I don't know. That's noisy.
So welcome to another episode of We're Disappointed. Today we're playing that shipping game again, but we have two guests. Please introduce yourselves. You say your name.
Hi, my beards. Back again from the previous episode. Hello, one and all. Thanks for having me back on.
No problem. And other guy?
No gun. Thank you for having me as well. I don't know if I was on the previous episode.
Y'all making this so awkward.
I was on an episode that may have happened in the present time or in the future or in the past. Time is an illusion.
Those will be posted before this one. I was thinking of posting this one like right before Christmas, and then we take a Christmas break until like after New Year's. The way this game works is you pull a card from this pack. We linked it in the last episode, the last time we played this game, on our website. And it has a character's name on it. Someone else pulls a character, and you're supposed to make an argument for why these characters should be shipped together. If you don't know what shipping is, go back and listen to that episode. But since we're mostly remote, like No Gun is here with me, and Jen and Beards are away, we're going to be pulling for each other. So I'll pull for No Gun, and Jen will pull for Beards. And it'll be Beards versus No Gun and me versus Jen like last time. So let's me and Jen go first just to show how it's done.
Okay. Let's see. All right. I got Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, again with her?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's only so many cards.
Let me put that one away. Pull again. I got Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Okay. I mean, I feel this is an easy ship. They're both super, like, badass and independent and just ready to whoop someone.
Yeah, crazy. They both have PTSD on top of PTSD. It might not be a good mashup, but I think it could work.
Yeah, like I honestly feel that they would connect through some sort of like cause that unites them. And then I could see them like not necessarily having like a relationship because both of them are pretty like fucked up and need therapy before they could have a really healthy relationship. But they could certainly burn off some steam with meaningless sex.
That was gonna be my question about this shipping thing. Like, is this supposed to be like a positive relationship or just a toxic just compatibility? Like, I wouldn't think they would be compatible at all. I mean, they're both fucked up to the degree of, like, they might get on each other's nerves.
I think they're fucked up in a similar way that they could probably make it work, if only for a limited amount of time.
Yeah, I don't see it being a long-term thing. But I think both of them could, like, fulfill each other's needs for a certain amount of time.
And it could be, like, you know, it doesn't have to be, like, a sexual relationship. It could just be, like, when we had, like, the Predator in Mulan in the other one, it was, like... It was just like a mutual admiration thing, but we said that they wouldn't, you know, be physical because Predator would probably see that as like bestiality.
Yeah, he probably respects her warrior prowess.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'm gonna pull. So that's a yes. I'm keeping track.
Okay.
So I'm gonna pull for No Gun, and I got Ghost Rider. Actually, let me write these down.
So I can yeah, that's a good idea. So I am pulling for you, Henry, and I pulled Mira Reed from Game of Thrones.
Do you know her? If not, we can re-pull.
Re-pull.
Okay.
Well, I know, or if I could describe her, I don't know. He doesn't watch Game of Thrones.
So. All right, so you know this one, or you have to know this one. It's Mario from Mario.
All right.
Now,
Mario and Ghost Rider.
So who's arguing for the ship?
It's up to y'all. I mean, do you either of you see that working? If not, explain why not.
Well, is this Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider or is it comic book Ghost Rider?
I think that's up to you. It's right, Marvel Comics, but if you want to make it Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider, that's up to you.
I'm going to say Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider, and I'm going to say the relationship works. Because Nicolas Cage made it seem like a video game character as opposed to like the dark, demented soul that he was. You know, the scratching at the door! Mario would probably be like, well, you know, they do come through the pipes, but maybe they can come through the door as well. I can understand your problems. Let's talk about this, friend. I mean, Mario, he eats the flowers and the mushrooms, and you know, so he's down with the psychedelics.
He turns on fire.
Ghost Rider turns on fire. You know, they can relate.
What do you think, Beards?
I am also pro this ship, and like for a lot of the same reasons. And also, Mario was like so completely laid back. Like, as long as you're not a Bowser or a Koopa, he's on your side.
Yeah, as long as you're not Zuckerberg, you know, lizard people. I'm sure he's
yeah.
He's
with lizard people. And then, like, you know, like, and he's fucking a fire skeleton, so of course the sex is gonna be hot.
Ew.
Everything that you could want out of a ship. I ship this 100%. Mario and Ghost Rider.
Yep.
There we go. That's a yes. Actually, let me put this in a document. Hold on. So it's our turn.
Make sure you're right. Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider.
All right. So my second poll is Mulan.
I have Dracula.
I don't know. I feel that would be a hard sell for Mulan.
I agree. Like, he's just too gross, too anti-people.
Yeah, he's like, she's just classic Disney heroine. So she's very good and isn't willing to fuck with, like, even morally ambiguous people. And Dracula is, he's not morally ambiguous. He's pretty firmly on one side.
Mm-hmm. Which is not her side, it's the opposite.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think that he'd be fine with her as a snack.
100%.
But, I mean, not anything close to, like, a relationship.
All right, so that's one for the no pile. All right, so time to pull for the guys again.
All right, Henry, you have Hamlet.
Do you need a new poll? Are you good with that one?
Give me another poll.
Okay. Arwen from Lord of the Rings.
Give me another pull.
All right, Darth Vader.
Okay. There we go.
Nogan, you have Fraser Crane.
Hey, this is easy.
How is this easy? Let's see.
They are both highly intelligent. They are both, they both make dumb decisions based off their emotions. And they're both conservatives. So,
are they?
I'd say they're both kind of egotistical maniacs also.
Definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean...
Like if
think about this, right? Fraser Crane is a aristocratic personality who likes order and control over his world. And Vader is trying to bring order to the galaxy with Vader's fists. And by purging it of all chaotic elements, right? They should fit perfectly together.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you messed up in saying they're both highly intelligent because both of them are fucking dumb.
Look, they think that they're smart.
So,
they like think that they're smarter than everyone else.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's say that they're educated.
Yes, like that's because
you gotta remember Darth Vader is Anakin though.
Yeah, just because you're book smart doesn't mean that you're actually like you actually have worldly common sense.
Smart.
Yes. Like,
I imagine the Jedi taught Anakin how to read, write, and
that's bare minimum.
You know, and Emperor Palpatine, he liked to watch the operas and stuff. He drug him into that one opera, right? When he told him that he was a Sith Lord.
Push the culture on.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure Anakin watched 5 minutes of that, so he's educated. And
that's all it takes is 5 minutes of opera.
In his own castle. You know, he had to, like, keep up with, you know, he was high on medical stuff as well because he had to make sure he could clean his own wounds if he was outside of the healing tank.
Definitely not.
Know how his robotics and stuff worked.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, this is headcanon, but it's all true now.
No.
he was obviously some sort of savant also. You know, was able to make all those droids and stuff. Yeah.
And, like, look at his outfit, how regal it was. You could tell he that when he drunk his wine, he split it between two fingers. Like, no. This is
he finished every day with a brandy.
Mm-hmm. No.
This is 100% canon.
No. Oh, my God.
I imagine, you know, that little pod that he sat in, there was also, like, a little keyboard will come down, and he'll play the piano by himself.
I'm getting, inside. Like, very Phantom of the Opera vibes from Vader now.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure if Frasier was in the Star Wars universe, he'd be a Sith.
Well, 100%.
No, he'd be one of those weird aliens. He wasn't really anything.
No, I see him being, like, an Empire, like, middle management sort of person. Where it's like he has enough power that he loves to abuse it, but he doesn't have enough power that he can do anything meaningful.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yep. Like the only reason that the relationship would not work is because Siths aren't allowed to have relationships, which makes me wonder how Pam.
They're not.
Are they? They have the relationship.
They're supposed to They only supposed to love themselves.
Well, you can love yourself with someone else.
No, like you're the only thing that matters is achieving power, and relationships make you weak, and weakness.
But they have a relationship with the student teacher.
Yeah,
but eventually you're supposed to kill them.
So that's the only purpose of the goal of two. Since when
that
they tried
to
run,
seems like an unsustainable sort of.
Yeah, that's why they always crumble. They are truly Republicans. That's why. That's why when they used to run in groups, they fucked each other over all the time, and that's why they came up with the rule of two. But even though that doesn't explain why Palpatine has children and a granddaughter, but who cares?
It's clones. It's not real. They're clones. The ones they're calling children are not actually children. They're clones.
Oh, Rey's a clone.
She's a child of a clone.
Her dad was a clone of Palpatine.
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. Who got away and decided not to be a turd.
Stupid.
Mind blown.
Alright, yeah. But yeah, the relationship, like, even though all the stuff that says the relationship wouldn't work, I say the relationship works.
I think it would work. It wouldn't be a romantic relationship. It would be a Sith relationship where Vader will take Frasier under his wing to try to take over the galaxy. Yeah. Master and apprentice.
Yep, 100%.
As long as y'all believe it, I'm not sold. But our poll now.
There we go. Two in the side of love.
All right, I got Loras Tyrell. He was Marjorie's brother, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Commander Shepard. From Mass Effect.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm saying it's a no.
Like, what?
From what I remember of Loras, he's, like, way too much of a weenie for Shepard of either gender to be interested in him.
Maybe Shepard gets with Caden, though.
I mean, Loras is supposed to be have a lot of martial prowess, though. He's supposed to be a gifted knight.
I mean, is he, though?
I mean, they've never shown it. Brienne beat him.
Brienne just got swag, though.
This is true. Except for Star Wars Brienne. We don't count that.
Yeah, well, they did fucking nothing with her. God. This is like Star Wars version 2 right now.
Sorry.
So what do you think, Shay?
I don't know. I mean, if Shepard fucked Caden, they'd fuck anything, so maybe. Caden fucking sucks.
Yeah, well, I feel like in the first game you didn't really have too many good romance options, period.
Yeah, but he's an option in the third one, though. You think it's I know it's purely nostalgia because of the first one, but still, like, he's an option.
Yeah, but I mean I know he's an option, but I would never consider him an option because the second game happened.
Hell, I mean, it exists. You can't just ignore that it exists.
Then we'll saying that, like, when you have so many other better options, it's like, oh, like, you can romance Caden, I guess.
I feel it's the same vein, though. Oh, you can romance Lawrence, I guess. I guess.
Well, so maybe. I mean, that's your argument. It comes down to Shepherd saying, I guess.
Yeah. Shepherd said, I guess before, so maybe. I guess you're here. You're the least weird looking one. You're not an alien. I guess.
It's kind of sad.
It would not be a loving relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see Shepherd, like, yeah, like, being into or respecting Loras.
So that's a no?
I say maybe.
Well, maybe in a no, that counts as a no.
Well, that's rude.
I'm just saying, that's... Okay, maybe.
It counts as a maybe. Okay,
maybe. It depends on who gets brought to whose time period, right?
Future, or if Loras goes to the future, past.
Or if Shepherd goes to the past.
You adding all these stipulations.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta build this relationship up. You gotta get the story behind.
Well, I just feel in either case, if Loras goes to Shepherd's world or Shepherd goes to Loras's world, there are 500 million better options for Shepherd.
In Loras's world, really?
Yeah. I don't know. Cool. Like anyone.
who like wouldn't try to fucking kill them? Or leverage them for political gain?
I mean, it's just like, to Ned me, Stark. Like, Loras is such a nothing. Like, I don't even really know, like, dead. What, like, like, what he does or what he thinks or, like, who he is. He's just a nothing person to me. Like, he's not interesting at all.
I mean, you're not wrong. But that, again, this is Caden. That's my whole argument. You're describing Caden
like. Yeah, but there are other, like, romances for Shepherd. So it's not like it's this foregone conclusion that Shepherd romances Caden.
What? I'm just saying, they did romance him, though. That's an option. It was the only straight option in Mass Effect 1, and then it was both options in Mass Effect 3, because apparently somebody liked them. I'm just saying, Shepherd does get down with Caden. It is an option. Some, not our Shepherds, but some Shepherd is into bland, disgusting, vanilla boys. So that's why I say Loras could be an option.
Why is he vanilla? Didn't he have a pompadour?
He was boring. He had a pompadour. He didn't earn the pompadour, though. Like, he didn't do shit with it. It was just there. It was like a lie.
It's a wait, fake pompadour. So is the argument actually that
he appropriated the pompadour?
The pompadour is not a good thing. Like, I'm like astounded that you all are arguing that a pompadour is a good thing. Because it's not. No.
It is, depending on who has it. Like, it's usually the hallmark of a type of character, and he was not that type of character. Yes. The pompadour is a lie. Right.
Then you have spoken.
So this one is undecided. I'm just gonna mark it as that.
Hotly debated, undecided.
Anyway. All right, so I got a couple here for you in case you don't know who all they right, are.
I don't know who this is, but it's another Star Wars person, so maybe you all know. Tennel Ka.
I don't know.
T E N E L K A. Tennel
Ka. Do you know who that is?
Do you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Tennel Ka is Jason Solo's wife in the expanded universe.
Mm. Oh, so she don't exist anymore.
All right.
She did.
All right, so next one is Khal Drogo. We got a lot of Game of Thrones people that we're pulling.
All right, pass.
All right.
Yeah, he has not watched Game of Thrones.
Okay, so that's another Game of Thrones person. I just didn't get a Game of Thrones section from another area in this box. All right, so Selena Kyle / Catwoman.
All right, here we go.
Okay, you know that one. Debbie Dupree from C-Lab. Does that work for you?
I mean, sure.
I mean, I have two other options here.
Wait.
Debbie. Is it Black Debbie?
No, it's not.
They say that in the show, for anyone who doesn't know. Because there's two Debbies.
There's two Debbies. One's black, one's white. And this one stupid-ass character. So they were talking about a Debbie. And he's like, wait, do you mean Black Debbie? And he'll whisper it.
Like, you don't call the other one white. He's like, you don't call the other one white Debbie. Why is she black?
He's like, I know she's white. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're a fucking idiot.
I'll stick with white Debbie.
Okay.
I don't think this relationship works.
And how come?
Debbie's so stupid and annoying. She's vain.
Very stupid and annoying. She's vain.
Not cultured.
You know, not cultured. Not like Wayne. You know, like, not like Wayne.
Selena Kyle's very into Bruce Wayne.
Selena Kyle's very into Bruce Wayne and her
high-class lifestyle.
Her high-class lifestyle.
There's no thrill.
There's no thrill Debbie in dating Debbie. On the bottom of the ocean.
In the lab.
Under the sea.
In the lab. Under the sea. With no riches to be found.
Well, they don't have to be in the lab. Why couldn't Debbie go to Gotham?
I don't see Debbie fitting in Gotham. What's she going to do? Who's she going to annoy?
She's going to do the same thing she does in C-Lab. And
you know what? You're probably right. I can see her being a replacement for Harley Quinn.
There you go.
Yeah, I can see
there
that.
There you go.
But I don't think Selena Kyle likes Harley.
Well, Quinn,
she does. They've hung out together. Her, Harley and Poison Ivy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And then on top of that, like when she's out doing the Catwoman thing, Debbie can be her grounder after she takes the costume and stuff off when she's trying to live a more of a normal existence or get away from the serious part of her life.
Maybe this is the world we're gonna paint.
We gotta paint a picture every time.
So Debbie takes a leave from C-Lab
mm-hmm.
because she can't deal with the stress
because she's all those idiots down there.
She goes to Gotham. Harley Quinn is in a chase.
Harley Quinn is in a chase and gets hit by a car. She's knocked unconscious. Debbie takes care of her, decides to replace her to try out the lifestyle. Selena Kyle links up with her. They do some heists. They're like, you know what? We're going to make this a permanent thing. Debbie kills Harley Quinn. Does it go back to the Joker? Takes over her lifestyle. And starts hanging out with Selena Kyle in secret.
The craziest shit I ever heard in my life.
Chef's kiss, man. That's some gourmet storytelling right there.
There we go.
All right.
You did.
All right. Thank you.
That is three for love.
Crazy.
Love wins tonight.
An actual mess.
What's the next one? Where are we at? I'm muted.
You ready to pull your next card?
What's the next one?
Versus Jen.
Pull that. That's what she said. That's what she said.
Yikes.
All right.
I'm cutting that.
I got Worf from Star Trek.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Oh. I don't know how this would work at all. I got Jasmine from Aladdin.
No, I see it working. I definitely see it working. It's like, what's her face in Deep Space Nine? With Jadzia. I see Jasmine and Jadzia Dax being like a little similar in the sense that they're both kick ass. They are fine fighting for the things that they're passionate about, and they're really smart and clever. And Worf is like super into that.
You think Jadzia is kick ass?
Jadzia. We can have this conversation another time.
Well, that didn't work out too well from what I'm remembering.
Well, yeah,
because
she dies.
Chatzia?
Wow, spoilers, thanks.
You didn't know? It's only like 20 years old.
We're watching it. Okay, she's not dead where I'm at.
She's watching it for the first time now.
I told her that.
I just thought
that
people knew.
How would I know
all
that?
Right, well, forget that I said that.
Wow. Wow. Too late. Where I was at, they like had a lot of friction because Worf is very uptight and not willing to bend on a lot of things. Like, they just started going out after her throwing the pussy at him for a long time. And then he's just like, yeah, you're doing too much. He wasn't into it. Like, I haven't seen anything since that showed that they were still in a relationship or still compatible or even considering it. Because you know how the format of the show is. Like, they'll show like a couple of people for like 2 episodes and then you don't see them for like 4. But yeah. I think that Worf's thing is women who could kick his ass.
And I think that
It definitely is.
Jadzia Dax fits into that. And I could make an argument that Jasmine fit into that too.
Make the argument because I just find her as like really not memorable. I don't remember a whole lot about her, so I can't make an argument either way.
I think the reason that she sticks out to me is that she was the first Disney princess that broke away a little bit from the helpless damsel in distress sort of thing. Like, on more than one occasion, she, like, takes matters into her own hands and, like, tries to, like, solve problems on her own. And it's not perfect, but, like, I appreciate the steps that that movie took to do that. And so, like, in my mind, she's, like, in the badass category.
I was gonna say the Princess Jasmine from the cartoon. Very willing to strike on her own face. You go punch someone in the face. Without Aladdin's help.
I don't remember that. The only thing I really remember from that show is the guy with the gross skeleton hand who looked like very pale Aladdin.
I don't remember that.
And he had like the floating eel with him with the weird eyes.
It's like Nazeeb or something like that.
Something weird, with a Z. And then also Jason Alexander was on it.
The only thing I remember from that cartoon was like the female genie that showed up
for like an episode or two.
Yeah, and it was like a very specific scene. Like, I don't know why it stuck with me or why it's taking up real estate in my brain to this day. But it was like the genie and the lady genie were like in like this argument over like what sort of topping should go on a pizza, and like one of them said pepperoni and the other one said gumdrops, and like they just kept zapping these like pizzas into existence, and it was just like, what the fuck is wrong with like both of you?
As you were describing it, like, really? I could see the scene in my head, like, I remember it. Yeah. So it's an actual thing that exists. It's not Mandela effect. I remember it too.
I think it's Mosenrath. Mosenrath is the guy.
Yeah. Pale Aladdin with a nasty hand. Like they had the exact same face shape. He just had like bigger lips.
I don't remember him at all. I only remember the pizzas.
Sexy lips. Sexy lips.
What'd you say?
Sexy lips.
Please, God.
The only one that had sexier lips was the eel. I'm just saying.
Ew, no. Listen, big doesn't always mean sexy, alright?
Alright, so that's a firm yes for me, for Worf and Jasmine.
That's an eh for me. I could take or leave it. I'm going to put a link of Mosenrath in the chat. So y'all can see.
Maybe it'll come to me once I've seen it.
I
I do vaguely
remember. Oh yeah, this guy.
I forget what his deal was. I remember I wanted to get the whole story, but that show was good on not giving you whole stories. Or they tease you with a little bit. It's like, oh, it'll come later, and then the show is canceled. Right, hold on, here's the his nasty looking eel too.
Yeah, those are juicy looks.
I don't remember that, but that
please.
That eel is scary. Scary.
It's like the off Sebastian's head and just gave him evil.
Yeah.
Oh man.
All right, next poll.
All right, so I have Jacob Black from Twilight.
I have Bruce Banner.
Oh God! Do y'all want to stick with that?
I mean, I feel
what?
It kind of works.
Jacob Black and Bruce
Jacob
Banner.
Black and Bruce Banner.
I feel like they could have a friendship.
I feel like they could have a good friendship. It'd be like a peer and mentor. I feel like this is another like peer and mentor relationship.
What is the peer mentor thing that they're bonding over? Just be right. Turning into monsters.
Well, Bruce Banner right. turns into the Hulk. Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk.
Always manages.
You know, somehow always manages right. to keep his pants mm-hmm. on.
Right. That takes a technique, right?
Or that takes a technique, right? Or some like super science fibers that he has, like, but only in like the thigh and the butt.
Jacob Black.
Turns into a giant werewolf.
A giant wolf.
It's not a werewolf.
But he always loses his pants.
First. He has to take his clothes off first. Go around doing his wolf business. And then find some clothes later on. Bruce is like, hey, I got you, man. I have a line of clothing that I've just made for people in our situation.
Elastic fibers.
Stain resistant.
Look at this color purple. You can't find this.
Look at this color purple. You can't find this anywhere else. He sends him a trial pair. He loves him so much. You see a wolf running around through the forest in some purple jeans.
Where do you get those jeans?
And you're like, where do you get those jeans? And he runs by and leaves you with the card and keeps running. All of a sudden, everyone in Seattle is wearing these purple jeans.
I feel like it'll sweep the nation.
If you just had some good advertising, and that's what Jacob Black can provide. Just run through the forest, handing people cards for jeans.
But that doesn't seem like a mentor-mentee relationship. That just seems like a
business partner.
Business ship.
Business ship. There's like a whole tribe of them.
So like,
I do feel since even though I've never watched any of the Twilight movies. Or read the books. If they work on the whole wolf alpha pack mentality thing, now being that in the Ang Lee movie the Hulk actually fought Hawk Dogs, and like beat them up, that means to me that he could like beat up the Jacob Black wolf dog, and earn his respect that way as an alpha leader, and then like they would have a. I don't know where I'm going with this. All right. But,
I mean, I feel we
keep
would
going,
be
keep going. You
like,
got it.
We would be remiss if we didn't bring up the whole like alpha, beta, or omega sort of relationships.
No,
like,
we don't have to talk about the
no,
omega verse at all.
I mean, we gotta, because that's where my mind went. Like number one, I'm not even gonna lie. It was like, okay, so like, who's not and who?
God, no. Yeah.
I will not have this in my ship. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he would sniff the Hulk's ass and realize that the Hulk has superior genes. And
genes like purple.
Literally.
Jeans?
Literally.
Yes. the Hulk would become pack leader and it would be a submissive and dom relationship. And besides the business aspect of it, and that's how they would carry on.
All right.
All right.
Gross.
That's five for love.
Gross.
All right. I got Lestat from the Anne Rice books. Wait, is Shay really quiet now, or is it just me?
Like, I'm looking at these cards, and it's like, they just gave me, like, Helena Bonham Carter. Like, not even a character, just her as herself.
And we complained about that last time, about, like, they put, like, real people in. I'm not doing that one, obviously.
I mean, hey, she is a character in her own right.
not for these intents and purposes. Who'd you get again?
More like Lathot, am I right?
I got the Shredder from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's the head bad guy, right?
Yeah, with all the metal stuff on him.
Okay. I don't know. I don't see Lestat being into him.
Yeah, he's too ugly. Lestat is very shallow and vain if he's nothing else.
Yeah. And it's like he also likes like high class, like high society sorts of things. And like Shredder doesn't seem to have access to that. I think
he
did.
He just gave it up to be bitter and chase things.
Well, see, Lestat wouldn't be done with that either.
Well, didn't he have money? Do you know? Beards, well, whatever.
He did run his own criminal empire and apparently had enough money to, whether you're going off the cartoon or the comic, like, run hordes of...
I was going off neither. I was going off the movie from, like, the 80s. Okay.
Well, he ran his own criminal empire and he had apparently enough money to fill up... arcades and stuff like that to recruit young children and to join in the Foot Clan.
Was he
so
doing drugs?
Yeah, they have cash from somewhere. I think he was doing drugs in the movie. I think he was a drug dealer. Yeah. Right,
so that's an agreed no.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Lestat love broken things, though? To hoard it over that he was better than them?
I mean, I guess you could say to, like... a certain extent. Like, I'm just like, I'm most familiar, like, I read the books way back when, like when I was in high school, so I don't really remember them anymore, but I do remember the movie more than that. And like, I do feel that he got off a little bit over Louis just because, like, because of that kind of like broken aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, he was so like adamant about keeping their like high class, high society lifestyle. That like I feel that's really important. That's really
important. Because he's a broke bitch. Because he feels like he's really like. I tried watching the movie over recently, like over Halloween, and it seemed like he was just more concerned with Louis, like keeping his estate and all that, because he's just money obsessed.
Yeah.
All right, I have four no gun.
Wait a second. Did y'all skip it?
No, that's a no.
Okay. No, that's
a no.
Okay.
Egon Spengler from Ghostbusters.
Nice.
Are you good with that?
Yeah.
And you have Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Whoa!
I think this works.
Yeah. Yeah, this totally works.
I mean, all the Ghostbusters were nerds to a degree, right? After joining the Ghostbusters. But Egon, I don't think anyone would argue, was the biggest nerd.
Yeah.
Yep.
A very rational and methodical kind of scientist. Even with his fellow cohort, who kind of annoyed him, I guess, if I recall correctly.
Yep. And Thrawn is such a complex villain that he's one of those, like, when he's talking to you, it'll make you actually think, is he really the bad guy? He's making a lot of sense, some of the stuff that he's saying.
Yeah.
So, like, I think based off of that alone, it wouldn't be one of those, like, I couldn't be with you because of the side you're on. He may actually win Egon over with logic or the purpose of the things that he's actually doing. And they're both extremely intelligent. Egon would have like access to like all the scientific stuff that he would need to like experiment on stuff and like to actually like settle his own scientific curiosities. Yeah, this is a home run out the park. Super easy.
I think so.
All right, so that's a yes. Yeah.
So Egon's messing with like some portals that he's working on. Gets blasted into a universe far, far away, a long time ago, and Thrawn picks him up, you know. It's, he's like, oh, he sees a blue guy with red eyes. I mean, that's love at first sight right there, if you ask me.
Oh, good. Yeah, you don't even have to, like, it doesn't even have to be one of those, like, they danced or they talked over a meal. They just met eye and eye, and it was, that was it. That was all that was needed. Yep. That was the beginning of Threego. Or was a good combination of both their names?
Thrangler.
Think. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Thrangler. Yeah.
Yep. We ship it 100%.
I'm down with the Thrangler.
All right. All right. Another one for Jen and I.
I got Gimli.
I don't know this one. I don't fucking know who that is. Who the fuck is Banana Man?
I have no idea.
From Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
It doesn't say it's from that, though.
What does it say it's from?
It just says from Banana Man. It just says Banana Man over and over pretty much on this card.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looks like it's a TV show from the 80s.
Ew, fuck that. Nope, that's a Highlander one. I don't know Highlander. Tyrion Lannister. And who'd you have?
Gimli.
That's a weird... How did we get that?
I mean, I feel that it has, like, very strong, like, short, hairy dude energy. And I think it works.
Yeah, they could commiserate on a lot of mm-hmm. issues.
They are both, like, really strong drinkers.
But, like, how would their, like, would their personalities beyond their habits and hobbies, like, mesh? Like, I admittedly don't know a whole lot about Gimli.
I mean, like, I think that Gimli would be able to, because, like, I see, like, Tyrion, like, he likes the finer things in life, you know? Like, he's a, you know, he's a Lannister, so he's, like, a little, like, stuck up a bit, right? Mm-hmm. Even though he's, like, the best of the Lannisters. Like, the most tolerable. But Gimli, like, had his own relationship with Legolas, who was also, like, high class and stuck up. He's an elven prince.
Right.
But they made it work. And so I think that, like, Gimli can certainly very much adapt himself to that sort of, like, high class lifestyle and make himself very endearing. So I think it would work.
All right. I'll follow your lead on that one. It works. Y'all have no commentary.
None.
I was trying to think on that one.
Have you seen?
I don't think it would work.
You don't?
Why?
I feel like Tyrion just doesn't have that gusto that Gimli would be looking for. They both party hard, undeniably. But Gimli seemed like he was about bashing heads in. While Tyrion did it that one, two, maybe like three or four times. He didn't seem to enjoy it as much as Gimli probably would.
I mean, they don't have to both go out there and do that. Gimli go out and do that.
I know. But if he looks over to the right and Tyrion's there smashing someone's head in with a shield, he'd probably get a raging heart on.
Yeah, Jesus there's Christ. No greater aphrodisiac for him.
Jesus Christ.
I just feel like the lack of that. Wouldn't it be great for the relationship?
Listen, yes, we don't do everything together. It could work.
I suppose.
I know you don't. You didn't watch Game of Thrones. Did you watch Lord of the Rings? You better not say no.
No, I watched Lord of the Rings. I didn't see any of the Hobbit movies, though.
You didn't miss anything.
You weren't missing anything at all.
Not even with Smaug.
No.
Smaug.
Was it Smaug? Some shit like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right, I got, let's see, who do I want to give you off this one? Launchpad McQuack.
Huh. All right, I have another Star Wars one. Are we getting bored of Star Wars ones?
Yeah, you can look, see if there's anything else in the pile.
Okay. I have another Lord of the Rings one.
See if there's something else in the pile.
Okay. Oh my god, like, I feel that these, like, are in, like, a very odd order, because I'm, like, pulling them all, like, they're, like, all from the same All right. Here's one from comics. Pepper Potts.
Oh, okay. So, Pepper Potts and Launchpad McQuack.
Oh, Jesus.
Once again, it works, even with the whole bestiality thing.
Why? Is it bestiality if they're anthro?
I think so. I think of like Howard the Duck coming into
our university banging strippers. Howard the Duck was more duck than biped.
Well, right, so Launchpad McQuack was very like...
He was more so than Howard Duck.
Hmm. All right, so...
He's more human-like than Howard the Duck.
Well, I mean, Howard the Duck is just a nightmare.
So besides having the weird gigantic beak on his face, I guess you can say for the most part, like he comes off of a human anatomy. Because of Pepper Potts' relationship with Iron Man, and like even though Launchpad isn't like a super genius or anything like that, she's in the people who can fly, and in the people who are who come off amazingly stupid. Once again, one of the whole not book smart stupid, but socially world stupid. So like yeah.
He's both, though.
Yeah, he's both. But I think the whole the kindness of Launchpad, him willing to throw himself into danger for others. I don't know how the whole crash thing will work out, but I think based off of just those two qualities alone, like they would get along very well. And like and she seems to also be into a person who's constantly putting herself in danger all the time, which. Launchpad is almost killing himself every time he gets into a car, he gets onto a plane to fly. Man, y'all giving us the easy ones. So yeah, they basically meet up. She's taking a private jet. Launchpad is the pilot, and they get like a couple miles from the airport and crash into the ocean. And then he swims over to shore, and then they lock eyes, and then like it's over from there. They're together forever.
I mean, yeah, can't argue with that.
We write the best romance stories here.
Y'all killing me with these stories, though. It's really weird.
You got to sell the ship. You just can't explain the ship. You got to sell it.
So when people are like listening to this podcast, they start doing their fan art.
No,
I hurt this so much. Here's their half human, half kid duck babies.
See, Launchpad holding Pepper in his hands with his scarf blowing in the wind behind them.
Yep.
Standing
like a romance.
Standing on top of a burning flame plane wreckage.
Oh, that's perfect.
No, don't you do got
it.
Him.
Don't
got
do him. It.
I might take that into the drawing jam next week.
Oh God. Oh God. I got Jack Sparrow, Captain Jack Sparrow.
I got Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, there we go. Easy peasy.
How the hell?
You go first. I feel like I always go first.
I don't know enough about Jean-Luc Picard. Like, if I had to equate him to Patrick Stewart, I'd say he'd be down for it, because Patrick Stewart is a fucking weird guy.
I think that Jean-Luc Picard is, like, he's too, like, serious to, like, I think that he would find Jack Sparrow to be, like, very silly and reckless.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I don't think he'd be into that.
What is his, he's serious. Does he have, like, no levity about him at all?
No, he does. It's just, like, I think that, like, Jack Sparrow is, like, a fucking clown. And, like, Picard does not trifle with clowns. They would have stuff to bond over as far as both being captains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that they could definitely bond over that. But, like, I just don't see Picard, like, giving Sparrow the time of day beyond that.
Like you said, reckless. But, I mean, like, what if they're in a situation where his recklessness doesn't matter?
Well, okay. So now I'm thinking... Like, because one of the things that Jack Sparrow is very good at is, like, pulling shit out of his ass, like, at the last second and, like, being able to, like, save the day, like, in some, like, crazy way that's, like, unanticipated. Like, I think that might pique Picard's interest. So now maybe I'm changing my mind a little bit.
Okay. By the same token, if Picard is too overbearing and too play by the rules, I could see Jack Sparrow not being into that.
Yeah, but so, like, I'm thinking, like, it would be...
If Picard is capable of loosening up in the right circumstance, I could see it working.
Like, if Picard, like, through, like, classic, like, Star Trek, like, tropes, is able to, like, go back in time or something like that, and, like, he meets Jack Sparrow, captain of the Black Pearl, and they both have to, like, survive or something like that, then I can see, like, Picard, like, drinking his Earl Grey tea, Jack Sparrow drinking his rum, both of them regaling each other with tales of heroics and ingenuity in the face of overwhelming odds, and going from there.
So is that a maybe?
I think it's a yes.
So it's like such specifics. Like, I always say maybe when it's like very, very specific circumstances.
They could be Holosuite friends.
That's what I was thinking. That was my my thought. Meet up in the Holosuite. That's such a weird concept.
Picard boots up to that Holosuite program every time he feels like being reminded of what a great captain he is and seeing a bad one. And like, he'll say to his crew, like, hey, you might have complaints, but look at this guy.
I could be this.
We can show him Janeway who casually murders people.
Exactly.
You really gonna let her murder me? Yep.
All right, I got a couple here for you, Novan. Chitara from Thundercats.
Okay.
I pulled the Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
All right, man, you guys are just like handing it to us.
You really gonna try to spin this?
Definitely.
How does it not work?
Yeah.
Y'all gotta like at some point say that something don't work.
She's a Catwoman. Yeah, so it's like why he's out there trying to find love so he can break the spell, and then it's like, but he doesn't break the spell and the rose wilt, so he's stuck in his beast form. And then he's like, all right, so I gotta be a beast, I might as well be the most best looking beast I can. And he goes and he gets groomed and stuff like that, and then like he's going out and he's searching for the new fashion clothes. He hits the gym and then Chitara's there because, you know, she likes to run, and she's running on the track next to him, and she's like, wow, you're a fine cat man. He's like, you're a fine cat woman.
He's not a cat though.
Hey. What is he, though?
Cat, antelope, buffalo, yeah. Dog, hybrid, whatever.
Mm-hmm. He's cat enough. Yeah. So, you know, she brings him back home, introduces him to the rest of the Thundercats. Lionel doesn't approve at first, but he comes around.
They say, what the fuck is that?
It's like, who are you to judge, bro? You're running around with these lizard men and... Like an actual mummy. Like, you're running with a mummy. Come on.
Then Snarf cries in the corner.
It's not their friend. That's different.
Like, I feel like when someone's your arch nemesis, your friends, right?
No,
what? And you just won't get along for the most part.
No,
like you're
saying they like play cards off the clock.
Yeah, you're frenemies, right? This is all performance you do for the show, but after hours, you're like, hey man, you want to get a drink? You're like, yeah, it was a rough day.
No, this is some Wreck-It Ralph shit right now.
Let me tell you about these henchmen.
Yeah, so Snorf cries in the corner because he's like, I don't totally look like a cat either. Exactly. And then Lionel realizes he's being prejudiced, and he has a growth moment. And then they accept the beast as one of their own, and he gets his own little YMCA leotard to join the group. And then he's a Thundercat, and him and Chitara get married, and bam, happily ever after.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm 100% on board with this. Sounds delightful.
I mean,
it's a beautiful story.
And Lionel can't complain too much because he is royalty, right? She's married into royalty.
Yeah. That don't mean nothing to him. She's not related to him. What does he care?
But you're too common.
Yeah, he just expanded the kingdom and formed a long-lasting alliance.
Lord have mercy, Jesus. Yep.
Done and done. Love wins again.
No, I'm not sold, but whatever. Whatever y'all want to do.
All right, the one I pulled is Korra from Avatar.
Ew. I don't even care who I pull. It's a no. Let me see.
Pull Aang. Let's see what happens.
Hell no. I don't even know if I have an Aang card. I hope not. I'm still looking. Okay, here we go. Just to be a shithead, Yogi Bear.
I mean, that should be easy too.
How should that be easy?
Hey, this is your turn. You paint the story first, and I'll fill in the blank.
Listen, I don't ship it. Like I said, it doesn't matter who I pick, so it would still be no, because I fucking hate Korra.
I mean, I feel that Yogi Bear is too close to her, like,
polar bear dog.
Yeah, it's like, I think that she would, like, view it too much like bestiality.
As she should, because Yogi's essentially just a bear that talks. Like, there's no humanism in him at all.
Well, you said every ship did not have to be a romantic relationship. So I see them as having a friendship. And because Yogi reminds her of Naga, that's why it works.
No.
Okay. No, I'm fine with
Naga
that.
Naga don't talk, though.
I mean, are you sure?
Yeah, but so it just makes like her, like, it's what she's always wanted. She's always wanted her polar bear dog to be able to talk. And so Yogi gives her.
He's obnoxious.
But so is Yogi Bear.
That's what I mean. I'm saying he is obnoxious.
From the first Avatar? It was just a bear. And everyone was like,
oh,
dumbfounded.
Is that the one
bear?
Yeah.
Bosco.
Yeah. It was like, in the Earth Kingdom, right?
Bear.
Yeah.
So, like, Yogi has a leg up because he talks. So it's like, what kind of bear is it? Is it a polar bear? No. A platypus bear? No. It's a talking bear. They're like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
The Avatar, bender of all four elements, has a talking bear.
It steals picnic basket.
Yep. Only problem is she can't ride him.
I mean,
I feel like that's like, if they want to like market Korra better to the masses, because she doesn't do a very good job of doing that herself, then having a talking bear is a really good way to do that.
I could see that.
You say, hey, Korra.
Oh, God, please.
Let's go get some picnic biscuits.
Terrible. Abomination.
So yes, as friend / pet / marketing tool.
Like, and to settle Shay's dilemma, the only person that could truly love Korra is her animal companion. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. It works.
Why do you say that? Because they can't understand how shitty she is as a person.
Exactly.
God, she's so shitty. Just thinking about her is making my whole mood dampen.
Would you say she disappoints you?
Oh, God. It's the title of the podcast.
No, I did it.
You said it. It's the name. Yeah, she's disappointing. But to be disappointed, I would have to expect something. I didn't expect anything from that cash grab of a show.
I missed so much in the middle. I still want to go back and watch it.
I mean, feel free. You didn't miss a lot, but feel free. Like there's a whole lot of nothing and angst for no reason, and then the end, which was a big nothing.
All right, well, Beards, tell me if you want me to pull another one. Sir Lancelot from like Arthurian legend.
That one seems a bit too easy.
You don't even know who it's with.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll you're ahead of yourself.
Like, you said Sir Lancelot, and I read King Arthur in his various forms. But immediately, what comes to mind for me is the King Arthur and the Knights of Justice cartoon with the football team that got pushed into, like, the past.
Rock and Roll Intro was one of the...
Is he a hoe in that show, too? Lord.
No. I don't think so.
Well, then he's missing that specific juge that Sir Lancelot has, because he's always a hoe. All
right, I have Medusa.
Ooh. Ooh.
Are you cool with that?
Yep. Yeah, that's
fine. All right, so sell us on it.
All right. I'm trying to see. I mean, Medusa's whole shtick, right, is that she was turned into this thing to punish her, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Lancelot being the guy who got pushed from the future. I'm going with the football one, by the way.
Wait, was it a punishment or was it like, help me, I got raped by some person, and it's like, oh, well, let's just make
it. I didn't
it
say
ugly.
It was a just punishment.
But that's not a punishment.
I guess.
Was it seen as a punishment?
She was a victim, but it's like the person who dealt it out to her, they felt it was a punishment because they never punished the person who does all the shitty shit.
Yeah.
All right.
So she's not an evil person. She's not. She's a victim. You know what you're saying? So Lancelot going back into the past from his night area, which you already came back to from the future, or went back to from the future. he's had to deal with these magical problems, so he might be a little bit more understanding of Medusa's situation. And you know, in true 80s, 90s cartoon fashion, I guess if you exclude the simplistic storylines and the racism, there's a lesson to be learned in this situation. So he's going to fight her, but they're going to come to like a stalemate. And like, you know, gazing into each other's eyes, he won't be able to because he has this weird visor thing and she can't see his face. But like, I feel like, you know, that the continuous struggle over the hours and days that this will take place, they form a reliance on each other and understanding. Because the only way you can truly know someone is to fight them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So with the struggle, they'll fall in love. With each stroke of his sword, she will see who he truly is. And with each lash of her tail, he will get a noble part of her soul. Boom. Oh, man. Tears. Tears.
One day, like after they they're having the hot, sweaty blindfolded sex, she wakes up and then like he's like, I want to introduce you to a friend. And then he got Merlin in the room and Merlin removes the curse and bam. And she's no longer a snake lady.
Yep.
So yeah, oh God. I have tears. So good.
They bring her back to their middle time where Merlin's from, and then she's hotter than Guinevere. So all the knights want to get with her, but Lancelot has her. And then Lancelot becomes king instead of Arthur because he has the hottest wife, and that's how it goes.
Oh, God.
and then England comes through a whole new, like, it's like a renaissance because Lancelot does it a lot better than Arthur does. Yeah. When they get back to the future, there's just, like, statues of Lancelot and Medusa all over the place because everyone remembers that one time way back and they cured everything. No hunger. No disease. Oh, man. It's a beautiful time. All
right. It's perfect.
Nutty. Y'all are real nutty. So I guess that's a yes.
Yes.
Y'all have, like, no nose for whatever reason.
It's love.
No.
They don't get enough of it.
Oh, yep. God. All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll wrap it up.
All right. I pulled Zuko.
Hellboy.
I mean, that should be easy too.
Oh my God, yeah, y'all are a mess.
It really is. Like, Hellboy is fine with fire. Like, he would like it.
Hey.
That's it. That's all. That all says all.
Yeah.
You know, help.
they're both like a bit broody, right? Both and childish. They both feel they like don't like fit in places. Like they feel like that they like are like outcasts and they want to belong. And so I think that they'll find that place with each other.
I feel like they'd be too similar.
Like Hellboy doesn't have to worry about like his like not being accepted or anything, because Zuko will see past that. And like Zuko could like really like spice things up by like doing fire bending and lightning bending, and it would be like something that Hellboy has never experienced before, and he'd really get off on it.
I don't know. I don't see. I could see them being too similar in their broodiness and feeling sorry for themselves, and both being very sensitive.
If you want to go back, like I feel like you could say that about Sarah Connor and Katniss Everdeen. Like, I thought they were too similar.
Listen, that's like 20 things ago. We're not talking about that no more.
Like, I think that any sort of like broodiness or anything would go right out the window as soon as Zuko put that first lightning bolt up Hellboy's ass.
I knew like, it was I think coming. That,
yeah, I know.
I knew it was coming.
You could see it like the distant rumble and like the you know in the dis- like in the horizon. Just like
I'm just surprised you didn't
can, like,
do it,
feel
sir.
It. Yeah. Well, you guys were talking, so I couldn't get it in.
Oh God. Like, I knew you were going to say something about that, or, like, tickling his taint with flame or something. I was like, what is she going to say?
That's also a good one. Yeah, but am I wrong? No. You can deny it.
I can, though. And I will. I shall.
No. No. Let these boys have some pleasure.
I don't see it being long-term, though. I could see them just being, like, too same polarized things, like, bouncing off each other.
Eh, you're probably not wrong there.
Well, I mean, it, like, worked between Zuko and Mei. And, like, they were very, like, similar.
I feel like one had actual problems and one had the illusion of actual problems.
Yeah, but, like, the end result was the same.
But it's different. Like, these two people both have actual problems. It's like, once you realize that you don't really have problems, you can stop feeling sorry for yourself. Mm.
Well, I feel like the lightning up the ass would clear that up.
I also feel like Zuko and Mei didn't really work. They just, because they wanted to pair everybody up, they just had to pair him up with somebody. So here you go.
Yeah, because Zuko and Katara is where it's at. And I would die on that hill.
Pretty much. That was much better. I was like, no, she has to be with this fucking fetus. Do that instead.
Ada.
They really should have just kept the big sister dynamic rather than forcing her to, like, dumb herself down for this younger kid. Which is dumb.
Yeah, I didn't feel it.
That's one of those things, like, because everyone expected it. It's like, oh, we're gonna do it. Okay, here you go. Here's your schlock. Don't complain.
I mean, I think the only reason they fell in love was because that was the first female face Aang saw when he came out of his ice womb.
I mean, true.
But he didn't, like, feel that it was 100 years, though. It's not like he was, like...
Hard like, up for 100 in, like, years.
Yeah, like, he did, like, to him, yeah. It was, like, a second.
As soon as he came out, he's like, hey, you want to go penguin surf with me? He was, like, his first reaction to try to impress this chick.
The mess.
I feel his first reaction is to impress everybody, though.
True.
Because he's a fetus.
Yeah, it's true.
Because he's so young and stupid. And it's like, even if they, like, are together now in, like, this juvenile, both under fucking 15 kind of way, fine, whatever. But they didn't have to grow up to have kids together.
The whole family was fucked up.
Which one? Like, all their Aang descendants?
And Katara is, like, yeah, like, all their kids.
Yeah.
They were, like, weird.
Like, who was it? It was the J.K. Simmons character, the son. Mm-hmm. And who else did they have? Mm-hmm.
They had, like, a daughter and another son.
Son who had no bending powers, who looked like Boomy for some strange reason.
He was named Boomy.
Looked like him. That's why.
Katara, like, got on
and
with
then,
that old man.
What was the daughter? What did she do?
Waterbender, I think.
Her hair was white or something.
Yeah, she was old.
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. They're all old.
I think it was Kaya and Tenzin were the last two.
Yeah, Tenzin was J.K. Simmons.
Hmm. Yeah.
And Boomy gets airbending later.
Well, when everybody just gets airbending for some stupid... It gets different bending because reasons.
I tuned out of Legend of Korra after the first season.
That's where I dropped off to.
Most people.
Telling me that I need to jump back in because it gets amazing.
Those people aren't your friends.
I'm just like, I can't do it. I'm like, her character is so nerve-grating. Like, and, like, she did so many things that brought, like, troubles to herself for no damn reason. So I'm mm-hmm. like, I couldn't do it.
It's like, I was just talking to Kenzie about this. It's like, I mean, with Avatar proper, it's like, the kids still made, like, silly decisions, but, like, I forgave them because they were kids.
Yes.
And, like, I know it's, like, you know, Korra and her pals, like, they're still kids, right? They're teenagers, right? But I expect them to be a little bit better than people who are, like, 5-6 years their junior or something. And it's mm-hmm. just, like, they were worse. And so it's, like, it was just frustrating to watch.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, why is she using the Avatar state to win a race?
Because she's
like,
a bitch.
Why are you guys doing this to me?
Because she doesn't care. And she's cocky and she took it for granted and all this other shit. And I don't know. I don't know who can relate to that. But it's for somebody. We're not the audience.
And then it was like, oh, wait till you find out who Amon is. And it's like, it's this big mystery. Amon's a character you haven't even fucking met.
Yeah.
What's the mystery in that? All right. back to love.
All right. So we can end the episode here. I want to thank you guys for hanging out. This was fun. We should do it again at some
Thanks
point.
Thanks for having me back.
All right.
Definitely.
And we mm-hmm. will catch you guys later.
Most stuff. Peace.
You've just listened to We Are Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. you can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at WeirdDisappoint on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeirdDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.